God bless you all. The funny thing is that I'm naturally very introverted. You wouldn't know. And so anything outside of ministry, I get shy. So this moment I was very shy. But I'm just so grateful for you all. Can we celebrate your pastors one more? Amen, amen. I'm grateful to be here to spend my birthday. This will be just like Pastor Toyin said, last year I was here on my birthday, this year as well. And for me, it's such an honor and a privilege that, you know, the day that I, you know, birthdays are very special. Let me just even say that birthdays, that there is something open over you spiritually because it is the day the Lord decided to bring you into this world. There was an open portal. And every year that we celebrate, it's not just to celebrate and, you know, be excited because we're going to receive gifts. It's a very spiritual thing. And for me to spend it in the house of the Lord, in the country I was born, it means a lot to me. It ministers deeply. So I'm also really honored to be here. I just want to thank God for everything he's doing. I thank God for my husband, our kids, and the Lord has just been faithful. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Once more, we are gathered in your presence, O Lord, to receive from you, to glean from you. Lord, I am only your vessel, and I pray that you would use me in such a beautiful way that will bring transformation to the lives of your sons and daughters, that would bring freedom, Lord God. And I thank you that you're already here, Holy Spirit, and that you would have your way, and you will glorify Jesus through all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hasn't Wolfbeck just been a blessing? Amen. You know, this theme, Thy Kingdom Come, I believe, even though we know this is the essence, right, of our faith and what we should proclaim is the kingdom of God, and what we as Christians, what our lives represent, that the ministry, and not even just the ministry, rather, the mission of Jesus continues through our lives. And so the presence of a Christian is the evidence that thy kingdom come. Because in order for what the Lord desires to do on the earth to be established, he will do it through people, right? And what is so beautiful, you know, there are just so many things as I've been in prayer for this conference, and there were things that the Lord began to just speak to my heart about when it relates to you, the believer. Because when thy kingdom has come in you, then it can be produced through you. And so there is a kingdom culture that we ought to embody. It doesn't matter whether you're Igbo, you're Yoruba, you're French, you're Spanish, wherever part of the world you come from. It's not about the culture of our background and our tribe and all those things, but there is a kingdom culture that we ought to embody. And when we walk as children of the kingdom of God, when we submit ourselves to his principles and his ways, then what the Lord wants to do through your life would not be limited. And so one of the things I want to teach on today is going to be really centered on honor. And I believe this is so critical. For those that were here yesterday, one of the things I was sharing is that when you start to understand that the enemy is more deceitful than he is powerful, you will start to examine your ways a little bit more closely. Because there are certain things that the enemy does not have the power to do to you, but he can deceive you to get you to do it to yourself. You see, even when you think about the story of, you know, the encounter between Jezebel and Elijah, Jezebel did not have the power to kill Elijah, but she could present a threat in a way that the goal of that threat is to bring Elijah to a place where he would do it to himself. So Elijah flees, and all of a sudden, Elijah is like, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore, Lord. Just take me home. What the enemy cannot do to you, he comes through the back door for you to do it to yourself. And as believers, if we don't understand the principle of honor, there are many things that God has designed for your life that cannot come to fruition, cannot manifest, because honor provides access. So if you show up in this realm of time in the way that God desired and designed you to when you came into Christ, which means you're a person of honor. You know how to give honor. And honor goes beyond just respect. It is the value you put behind the things that matter. And in just a moment, we're going to look in the Word of God. We're going to be studying in looking at Numbers 12. And there's a lot of things we're going to unpack. But one of the things that the Lord began to really deal with me on is because for the average person will believe, you know, they're honorable to some degree. But you don't realize sometimes, especially in the times that we're living in, social media, you know, everyone's opinion means the world to them. You can create fake accounts and comment and say all kinds of reckless things against people. As long as you have a phone, you can be a content creator. And people are so easily speaking out against people you don't even know. Speaking about things you have no revelation about just because someone else said it. People join a bandwagon. Gossip has now become a form of entertainment, yet the Lord is against it. Tearing each other down, sowing discord, is now content creating. Do you see the deception? So sowing discord amongst the brethren is no longer discerned because it's content. And we are engaging in it. We are sharing our own thoughts and views and all these things. Gossip is just what we do. In Nigeria, we call it gist. At the end of the day, it is what it is. And here is the thing, because the Lord, when you are in Christ, the Lord is always going to call you higher. When we pray and we say, you know what, Lord, take me from glory to glory. It is not this abstract thing. It is not just something of like, God, give me, anoint me more, give me more power, give me this, give me that. No, he's calling your whole being higher. Even your conversations have to go higher. It has to go from above the realm of just talking about people to let your conversations always be captured in things that involve kingdom. The things you share, the things you comment. And let's actually dive into this scripture, and I'm going to teach from it. So Numbers chapter 12. And it starts by saying, Miriam and Aaron, these were, you know, the brother and sister to Moses. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. It's interesting that it starts off with Miriam, not Aaron and Miriam. And in just a little, you will see that Miriam is really the champion of this conversation. And why is Miriam so comfortable to speak against Moses? What introduces her to speak against him is the woman he married. But that was the deception, because it was actually, it was what the enemy used to woo her. To actually reveal the pride in her heart. You see, Miriam, when Moses was born, that was during the time where literally, you know, the Pharaoh was saying, look, for any male child born, that child should be killed. Miriam was the one who was watching over her baby brother when he was put into the river. So she had seen him as this helpless little boy. Now, all of a sudden, Moses, the same Moses who she cleaned his, you know, when he did things that we all did and do. But the same Moses who was just this helpless child, crying, whining, and doing things that people had to clean up, is now the same Moses God has raised up. God is using so powerfully to bring deliverance to their people. You see, familiarity is one of the greatest enemies to elevation. Because just the fact that she was so familiar with him, she lost discernment of who this man is before God. Isn't this Moses my little brother? Do you know that God can use you to raise someone that becomes greater than you in the spirit? And if you only know them by the flesh, there are things you can never receive from them. You see, there was this mystery that the Lord began to unlock to me. You know, the scripture talks about how there are doors that God opens for us, right? It says that God will open up a door that no man can shut. And he will close doors that no man can open. And I mean, has that ever been your prayer point? Just show your hand, raise your hand. It has been mine, definitely, see? And you start praying like, God, open doors that no man can shut. Shut doors that no man can open. But what does that actually mean? And what does that look like? Because it's not that the Lord is going to come down from heaven and there's a meeting happening somewhere and the Lord comes and opens the door for you. And even when we think about opportunities, Lord, maybe the Lord is referring to opportunities he would give me that no one can take away from me, and opportunities he would take away from me that no one can give me. You know, what is it that the Lord is talking about? And I believe it's layered. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit began to minister to me is that these doors are people. Because when the Lord wants to bless you, he sends a person into your life. When you think about it, I can trace a lot of things that God has done in my life to people that he used. So it's not that the person is who I elevate as God. No, God did it, but he did it through somebody. And so often we are, you know, when you look at a person, you're just thinking like, okay, well, maybe God did it with you, but you start to see their humanity. You start to get too familiar with them. And you lose honor for them, not realizing that the grace that God used to bring you into another season of your life was not some mysterious, abstract thing. God used a person. And when you begin to dishonor people, you are cursing the source of breakthrough in that season. You see, let's not even make it too spiritual. Because for the everyday person, maybe there was a time in your life that you were just crying out to God for some financial change in your life. God opens up a door where there is this job opportunity that happens for you. And then all of a sudden, you start to see maybe your boss's humanity. And let me even get this clear. Honor does not mean you agree with everything. Honor does not mean you condone or you not even condone that you become, you know, you're in agreement with a sinful lifestyle. No, that's not what I'm saying. But honor is a posture. It is something you steward. And we'll unpack this. But you saw your boss, you became too familiar with the person, that your boss started to annoy you, to irritate you, and then you start just speaking against the person, he or she. All you do in your free time is to talk about how terrible they are, this X, Y, and Z. You don't realize that your boss is not just representing a person, but your boss is representing a door that God opened for you in response to your cry. And the more you speak against the person, you are cursing the source of breakthrough in your life in that season. This is why our conversations must be called higher. Because before you started to nag about that person, have you prayed for them? Because could it be that the Lord even connected you to them? Because everything God does is two ways. So there is something that God knew that, okay, I'm looking for who would be available. Who can I use that would open this door for you that you need? And he finds sometimes they might not even know Jesus. It does not mean you dishonor them. Because on your end, could it be that you're supposed to intercede for them? How often do we intercede first before we speak recklessly with our words about another person? Because I will tell you this, whoever you intercede for, you will not curse with your mouth. Because when you carry the heart of Jesus for someone, the Lord begins to open your eyes to who they truly are. You actually have more compassion for them than negative remarks to say. Whenever you begin to intercede for another, you see them in truth. You will not be so quick to loose your tongue recklessly. Because just because it's a conversation between you and a friend does not mean God did not hear it. Just because it was a conversation you had, just, you know, eating suya. For people not from America watching, meat that is quite nice, spicy, right? Oh, not from Nigeria. But because you think it was just this intimate conversation you were having with your girlfriend or you're having with a best friend, and you didn't realize God heard it. You see, why is the Bible the very first promise, the very first commandment that is connected to a promise in the Bible has to do with honor? Honor your mother and your father so that your days might be long. Why is the length of your days now connected to how you honor your mother and father? Because they're not just about people, they're a door. These were the people God used to bring you forth. So when you dishonor them, you are actually dishonoring life. Because if this is the source that brought you forth in this realm, to dishonor them is to curse your life. And so if you're going to be a believer, and there are certain possibilities of what God wants to do through your life, it is going to require you to be one who knows how to walk in honor. You see, it's so interesting. Not too long ago, very recent actually, I remember I was just watching this program, and it just blessed me. You know, there was a minister, a man of God, who was just having an impartation on other ministers, and it was so, you could just sense the power of God as you're watching it. And I remember in my heart, as I'm watching this, I was just, you know, there were just things I was asking the Lord about. And that very night, I had this powerful encounter where there was an impartation to activate something that the Lord has always spoken to me about. But the impartation was to activate it, and here's the interesting thing. The person, the face that is used in this encounter was someone who I grew up listening to. I gleaned so much from them. And then all of a sudden, in their walk with the Lord, they fell into some slight error. And then even repented of it. And I knew there was always, you know, sometimes I'll be in rooms where people start having conversations about this individual. And I remember my husband would always tell me, Stephanie, because, you know, when you're around people that you feel like, okay, you know, safe community or whatnot, You might want to just drop a 2 cents or here and there, say a few things. And my husband would always tell me, whenever a true man of God is being spoken of, never give your, don't start giving your opinions. These are spiritual things. Because sometimes people, you don't even realize that the temptation and the deception is someone asking you, what is your opinion? So you can share from the flesh. So these are spiritual things. And the Lord began to teach me that, because there are things that the Lord started to show me that I am their master. Let me deal with them. You didn't call them. I did. So if they walk out of alignment, I'm the one that will deal with them. If there's anything that we ought to correct in the body of Christ, yes, speak on things that are maybe the theology, the teachings, but don't think that just because you have a microphone, you can start speaking out against men and women of God. Because you didn't call them. Let the one who called them know how to deal with them. You see, this same principle is what the Lord taught me about tithing. Because I started tithing as a very young child. Because I remember tithing was not even something that I learned in church. It was something that the Lord directly was teaching me on. I started tithing when I was, I believe, 14. And it was because there was something that the Lord had shown me, it's yours. And I went for it and I got rejected. And I went back to God and I said, Dad, what happened? You said it's mine. But they rejected me. And the Lord said, you have something that belongs to me. I'm just telling you my personal story. I was a child. This was a time, my mom, even at the time, she's listening to this, but she knows it's true, she wasn't tithing. Now she... So it's not something that I would say, oh, you know, my mom was faithful in tithing then. Now, you know, yes. But I remember when the Lord said, you have something that belongs to me. I said, what could I have? And that's when he started teaching me about tithing. And I said, Lord, I'm a child. I'm a teenager. I don't even work. He said, but the favor you receive every time an uncle, an auntie gives you money, that favor is for me. And I used to save so well. I really used to save so that I could buy new phones. And when the Lord said, that is mine. So he started teaching me stewardship at a very young age. And I remember telling my mom, I said, Mom, I have to go pay my tithe. And she was like, what? I said, no, I have to. And the following Sunday, I went to church. I put my tithe in the offering basket. I went back to the thing that rejected me, and I got it. And so why I'm sharing this is because as I got older, then you start to question, when you're still a babe in Christ, you're like, do I want to put my tithe in this church? What are they doing with the money? I don't know what, I need to see what they're doing with the money. And the Lord is, if I put you in the church, let me deal with the shepherd. You just stay faithful to me. You see, there are people that you don't have the authority to use your words against them. What the Bible requires of you is to pray for them. Let their master deal with them. Because if the only thing you're contributing to the conversation is what you think, not what you know by revelation, it's better to be quiet. It's not something that God revealed to you to speak on. Even when Samuel, when the Lord revealed to him things about Eli, he still had a fear of God to speak it to Eli. Eli was the one that now he almost really implored him to. If you don't have revelation about certain things, be quiet. Don't fall into the trap, because that's what it is. Because you think it's just a conversation, but the spiritual realm is listening. And they're waiting to see what they can use to accuse you. Because how can you be blessed from the same stream that you curse? You see, there are people who represent certain graces on the earth. Not just in ministry, even in business. There are people that represent a grace for business. There are people that represent a grace for the industries you want to get into. And then all of a sudden, someone will put something on social media about them, and you join the conversation to mock people. You join the conversation to suggest where they get their wealth from. If you don't know it by revelation, stay honorable. If you don't know what you're saying as fact, stay honorable. Don't join the bandwagon of what is happening in culture, because these are one of the ways the enemy deceives. The person the Lord used in that encounter was a man who I would have been tempted to speak against. And that was the man the Lord used to activate something that has always been in me. But this is how God works. Because it's not just about your relationship to God. It's also about your relationship to people. Because people are the heart of God. Everything he did for you. So if you don't know how to relate with people, there are many things in your life that will be cut short. So look at this scripture. After Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses, what happens in verse 2? And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses?" You see, this is when the state of your heart is now being revealed. You thought you were just speaking up against someone else. No, it's revealing the bitterness in your own heart. "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" He has. "And the Lord," look at verse 3, "heard it." She's thinking she's just having a conversation with her brother. They're just talking about Moses. Because the reality is that they want to be more known than they already are. They desire some level of higher calling, and the deception of the enemy for them to start to speak about it is to pinpoint something in Moses' life that doesn't look quite right. Then you feel like you're doing the righteous thing. Let me speak about Moses' wife. But what followed it? Hasn't God also spoken through us? You see, you don't realize anytime you raise your mouth to accuse someone, you're actually exposing your own heart. You're actually exposing that you are not really as intimate with the Lord as you think you are. Because any true follower and lover of Jesus, if you have the burden of God, there are people you would intercede first before you speak. The Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." And the three of them came out. You see, have you ever realized, you know, oftentimes we pray for suddenlies. Lord, bless me suddenly. Change my story suddenly. There are things that we're believing for God to do suddenly, and he can. But we don't also realize that dishonor also presents another type of suddenly. That there is a sudden judgment that can come from dishonor. Why? Because Miriam, since you were so quick to forget, your brother Moses is not just your brother. He is the gate which through God used to deliver the Israelites. If you curse him, if you speak against him, you're also an Israelite. You speak against your own freedom. You speak against your own life. And so when you see the judgment of God upon Miriam, you would understand this was always about source. How can you speak against the source of which you have partaken of? And you think it was just a conversation. No, I was just talking to my friend about this thing. The Lord heard it. If the kingdom is going to be that which the Lord can entrust for you to advance on the earth, it's going to require doors to be open to you. There are resources you need on this earth to advance His kingdom. There are relationships, strategic relationships that God will connect you to advance His kingdom. There is wealth required in to advance His kingdom. And all these doors come in the form of people. But if you begin to speak against graces, then the graces are also shut to you. And it begins to limit people in places they ought to soar. Now look at this. The Lord tells them, you know, they both come forward. And verse 6, and He said, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. How dare you try to compare yourself? That, oh, the Lord speaks to him, the Lord speaks to me too. How often do we find ourselves comparing ourselves with other people as though we ought to be better than them? Because we've become familiar with them. The person that you're being familiar with, maybe they're the ones God sent to mentor you. But because maybe you're the same age range, you're like, oh no, this one, oh, my little sister. That little sister you're calling is who God sent to mentor you. And if you see them right, if you have the proper discernment of who they are, it would unlock things in your life. Just because maybe she's even a little bit older than you, but you're dealing with complex issues. Or he is a little older than you, and you're dealing with your own complex issues. Then you speak about them so casually, not knowing that person is supposed to open a door for you in business, and they are the door. If you treat them with honor. You see, honor is a form of intentional respect. Not because of the person you see, but what you have, what is revealed to them by the Spirit of the Lord. And what does that mean? You as a believer, it is your duty to begin to seek the Holy Spirit. Show me who are the people in my life. Every environment I'm connected to, whether it is something as work, whether it is relationships, and even in my family, reveal to me who are these people. What is their place in my life? Don't get so familiar. Even the scripture will say, know no man according to the flesh. You will fall in error. Begin to ask the Lord, who are the people you have put in my life? Who are the people connected to me? What door do they represent? Because your parents, that's easy. They represent a door of life. No matter, even if they caused you some pain growing up or things like that, it's not that you agree with the things that they did, but they are due your respect. You don't just loose your tongue anyhow. This is not how kingdom people behave. Because even the Lord will show us that even your careless words would be judged. And why is it that careless words will be judged according to the scripture? Because you cared less about what you said. Words that from the very beginning we see that it has creative power. And yet you look at your words as something that you don't even care about. Yet when God created you in His image, He also gave you this ability to use your words to shift things. but you have allowed yourself to just use your words for lower level demonic participation. So where you don't put care, you lose proper stewardship over. And if there is one thing you will learn about God that he does not take lightly, is bad stewardship. Even your speech, you should be a good steward over your speech. So let's continue in the scripture. So in verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent. Now there are some scriptures that will say suddenly. I'm reading from the ESV, it says, behold. But if you look at the New King James, it will say another suddenly. Suddenly, Miriam was leprous like snow. Suddenly. But here's something so interesting that happens after. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Do you know that oftentimes you may be the last person to realize what has been cut short to you? There were areas in your life that you were advancing, things were moving fine, things where you were progressing in ministry, you were progressing in business, you were progressing in different areas of your life, and suddenly, something stops. Things begin to decline. And you don't even realize it. It is the people around you that are quick to first recognize, wait, something is different. You don't seem like you're not the same from last year. Every time you call me on the phone, you're complaining about one thing or the other, but last year you were rejoicing. All of a sudden, something changed, but you didn't even notice. The first person to notice that Miriam was leprous was not Miriam. Aaron looks at her, because can you imagine someone who just became leprous and they saw it? Miriam would have screamed. Aaron must have been responding to something, but it says when he looked at her, behold. So the shock was when he saw her. Not that Miriam first saw it in herself. There are things that happen to us, we don't even realize it until other people begin to point it out. And sometimes they'll do it in such a soft way, like, man, I think you need to go on a fast and pray because things are changing in your life. And we try to take, and I'm not saying that in every situation is because of dishonor, but these are things you have to come to the Lord with humility. Don't just generalize that someone has cursed you. Someone is doing some witchcraft against you. Because what if you did the witchcraft to yourself? You see, remember, the Bible talks about how rebellion is as witchcraft. Witchcraft does not only look when someone has gathered and they have, you know, things on their face and they're calling on things. Even in rebellion, because what is the agenda of witchcraft outside the costume? Because you know now witchcraft is advancing. Because even in America, people are FaceTiming with witch doctors in Nigeria. I say, wow, now they have FaceTime. But beyond the costume, what is the agenda? That Satan needs a bodily vessel to manifest his own will and purpose. Because at the end of the day, the scripture stands true. That the earth has the Lord given to us. So if there's something that the enemy wants to do on this earth, he needs a person. And rebellion achieves the same goal. Because your obedience would have advanced the kingdom of God. But your rebellion advances the kingdom of darkness. So in a simple term, sometimes, I'm not saying this is general, I am saying that when you begin to notice a shift in your life, that just suddenly things began to take a different turn, don't be quick to conclude why. Search it out in the Lord with humility, because sometimes it may be a stream that your words cut the flow from. That your gossip, your comments, your time just gisting with your friends, actually, it did more damage than you thought. It cut a grace from which you're supposed to partake of. Before you're so quick to just jump into things. And then you know what we normally do? If there was some family member whose wife looked at us funny, we say, I knew it. When I went for that wedding, there's a way she looked at me, and then she pat my back. You say, and then back pain. And the woman is somewhere praising God. All I'm saying, approach these things with humility and be open to the fact that could it also be, God, if there is anything that I have done, reveal it to me and restore me. You see, it's so interesting how the Lord approaches this. Because an Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and sinned. That word foolishly in the Hebrew is a word, yao. And it is a word that has to do with being delusional. That we were so delusional that we fell into error. You see, this delusion is when you make yourself bigger than who you are. When you put more authority on yourself than heaven recognizes. When you start to engage in things that you are not even authorized by God to speak on. They don't understand the relationship with God and Moses. And yet they could just easily speak against him. Delusion. Don't make yourself bigger than you are. This is the same thing that caused Satan to fall. Pride. When you start to see things properly. It's so interesting. When the Lord began to show me this message, I remembered, I was like, man, last year there was also a message on honor that he was really pressing on me through. But this year, the same message. And I believe it's because the times are so critical. You will not be able to detect deception unless you are someone who is very observant and you guard your heart with diligence. That you're not someone who is just easily, you see, one of the dangers of anyone who talks too much is that your speech will lead you in error. Don't be someone who is always quick to speak about everything. Even if you're bored, read the Bible. Do something else with your time. Find a hobby. And maybe for some, you need to change your circles. Because if people don't know how to speak about kingdom matters, then you need to start looking for circles of people whose conversations are more elevated. Because it's casual to you, but spiritually it's careless. Be mindful. Miriam did not have a clue that what would have been a casual conversation with her brother would cause her day to end as a leper. And it continues. Let her not be as one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb. You see, even the degree of leprosy that she had was a very advanced leprosy suddenly. And what happens to lepers? They're cut off. If God never used Moses to deliver the Israelites, Miriam would not be participating in the freedom they are experiencing to easily go and worship the Lord. So when she curses the source that God uses, he inflicts her with that which was cut her off from the community. Say, well, you should not be part of this group. If you can easily speak against the door I used to bring this people thus far, then you should have no part with them. He gives her leprosy. And look at Moses. Moses, in verse 13, cries out to the Lord, oh God, please heal her, please. But the Lord said to Moses, if her father, now look at, even though this was speaking to, you know, what would normally happen if a father spits on the face of the daughter, that daughter would have to be, you know, separated for some time. But why is this what the Lord would use, the analogy of a father? Because father represents source. If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again. Even when the Lord restored her, the Lord is teaching something here. So, and again, what I love about scripture is that there are so many layers to this that we can unpack. But even for the sake of this teaching, the Lord speaks, if a father spits on the face of his child, shouldn't the child be shamed for 7 days? So what is God now? So God is almost comparing that Miriam, what you did to Moses, what you spoke about him, is as though Moses as a father spat on you as a child. Because you are not just speaking against a man. You are cursing an open door. You see, there are doors that the Lord wants to open before you. And it goes beyond prayer. It goes beyond just asking the Lord, open doors that no man can shut. And shut doors that no man can open. Because some of these doors represent men and women. And there are people that are favorable towards you because you live a life of honor. God causes them to just have a liking towards you, to favor you in a way that no matter what is said about you, they will still favor you. When God opens a door, no man can shut. No matter the accusations that come against you, they will still favor you. Because the one orchestrating it is the one who is king above all. But then you also don't want the situation. Because when you think about it, why would God shut doors that no man can open? Shouldn't the focus just be on opening doors that no man can shut? There are kingdom principles. Because dishonor will shut doors that the natural man cannot open up. No matter if people plead your cause, no matter if you have the best CV resume, you keep wondering, why can't I get the proper job? Well, you curse the last one. And just because the jobs are different, but the stream is the same. It is a grace towards you for wealth building. And the first door that God opened, you cursed it. Because you didn't like your co-workers. You didn't like your boss. Then you start wondering, why aren't things working? Weird things begin to happen to you. You sat under a minister of the Lord. And there were things that the Lord used that person to unfold in your life, to impact in your life. And then you get offended by something, maybe some interaction or whatever. I'm not talking about people that fall into error. I'm talking about offense that doesn't even hold any weight. And you think that just because you can put words together, you start to sow discord in the church. Oh, the preacher didn't give you any time of day. And then weird things start to happen in your life and you wonder, like, what is going on? A minister who the Lord used as a shepherd, a faithful shepherd over your life, that was interceding for you, praying for you, fasting on your behalf, and there was a misunderstanding one day and you begin to curse him or her. And you don't realize you are cursing the stream that the Lord brought as a blessing, and it turns against you. It's spiritual. What am I asking of you? Let your conversations come up higher. Elevate your speech. Can God be factored? Can God be revealed? Can Jesus be seen through how you talk? What you say in private may not be heard by your neighbor, but it is heard by the Lord. And unfortunately, sometimes it reveals you don't yet have the capacity for what you're praying about. But the beautiful thing is that the Lord began to show me that there are people that He wants to restore. There are many things you did in ignorance, but even that which is done in ignorance still carries weight. It still has certain consequences to it. But the Lord began to show me that He wants to restore. And so for just a moment, just stand and let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, there's some of you and you need to make amends. There are people that, and it's not always about reconciliation, but what I'm saying is that there are people that you know you have used your words against. Not because you had facts, you're just careless. And for those that you have proximity to, take a step and do something that is honorable towards them. There are people that you would actually ask for forgiveness for things they don't even know of. Just do as you're led by the Spirit of God. Because if the Lord is leading you to go to a person and say, I'm sorry, there are things I spoke about you, and I did it carelessly because of what I heard other people saying. Forgive me. If you resist the leading of the Holy Spirit, you are submitting to pride. Take the path of humility, it will exalt you. The Lord wants to restore. I just want you to hold your hands up like you're about to receive something. Lord Jesus, we thank you. This walk with you is intentional. Lord, I pray that just as Job said that he has made a covenant with his eyes, that he will not look at a woman lustfully, Lord, may we make a covenant with our mouth. that we would not speak about another carelessly.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we ask for your help. You have given us your Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of the living God be able to restrain us and make us sensitive when we're about to fall into traps. Lord, you showed me restoration, and I speak that over your people. That for any place that they have sown discord with their words, for any place that they have spoken carelessly about another who they should be gleaning from, whose grace they should be receiving from, Lord, I thank you that you are restoring unto them. That as their mind is being renewed, that restoration is taking place in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, have your way. In the same manner that suddenly judgment can happen because of dishonor, as they commit to the walk of honor, Lord, let there be suddenlies in their lives. That suddenly things will begin to turn around for their good. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.